The following message was recorded at the 2011 No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. And now, our featured presentation.
I appreciate you coming. And I guess you're going
to get things started. I don't have to do a whole lot. All I'm going to say is that if you were expecting to see Mark Malwitz, Mark got ill. So Mark and Arn worked together. We have Basics, which is brothers and sisters in Christ in Milwaukee. Arn is actually the founder of it. And we started in 1995. And I don't know how long you've had a personal relationship with the Lord, but I know as long as I've seen you at Elm Brook and known you a little bit, you've had a strong relationship with the Lord. So with that, I'm going to turn everything over to Arn.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm delighted to be invited in the last minute. I got a call yesterday afternoon about 4 o'clock. I was in a meeting, and I saw the call. It was from Mark, and he's my backup in Basics.
Oh, really?
In ministry, and he's been a real good friend and partner in ministry. And when I saw it was him, I answered it right away. He said, I can hardly talk. I'm sick. I've got this flu that I get usually once a year, and it's in chest. And he said, I'm supposed to speak 3 times tomorrow. Can you fill in for me? I said, sure, we'll try to do that. So last night when I got home, finally about 6 o'clock at night, I checked my emails and he had sent me his outline for what he was going to talk today. So I have that with me. But I stayed up until about 1 o'clock this morning trying to put my thoughts together. And so I think we'll be probably winging it a little bit today because I haven't had the preparation time. But there's always God that works in preparing us for a time like this. You know, whether you're ready in your own mind or not, but God has words probably to say to you guys, and I'm going to let him speak. A little bit about me. I don't like to talk a lot about me, but I felt that my life was very, very blessed by God in that I was raised in a Christian family. And it was just a given that we lived differently. And that was a very strict religious Dutch background. And we had a lot of rules to live by. That was a Christian Reformed church, and you've probably never heard of it, but it was in Michigan. And at the age of 7, I really felt God was in my life. And it wasn't something that I had to make a decision about. It was just, that was the way. And it wasn't until I was 13 years old I had gone to a church that really touched my heart after that service that God wanted me to be a messenger for him in ministry. And I thought, I'm going to be a pastor, you know. So I went to school thinking, well, I have to prepare myself for being a pastor. But that wasn't God's way. And I went through high school, got all kinds of awards for the liberal arts stuff and contests. I was in music and all that kind of stuff. But I graduated and received a 4-year scholarship to a school of art. And I couldn't figure out why would the Lord put me in that position. You know, that's not ministry. But it opened my eyes that I could be in ministry most anywhere. But I turned down that scholarship because I went to the school and I just didn't feel that's where God wanted me to be. So I took a semester off from school. And in that year, that half a year, I got into the construction industry during the summer. Got a good job. But in the fall of that year, this would be in 1955, so that gives you a little idea how old I am. But I got a call from a teacher of mine in high school who knew that I was pretty good at doing drafting, and that's drafting, drawing, mechanical drawings and so on. He said, would you like a part-time job in drafting? I thought, you know, that's interesting. Why would God give me a part-time job in that area? And so I took it. And I continued working in construction, did this at the same time as a part-time job. Well, the first time I met my boss, he said, Arn, this was the manager of the operation. He said, if you're going to go anywhere with this company, which happened to be Johnson Controls, you've probably heard of it here, but this was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he said, you're going to have to get an engineering degree. Well, if you know what engineering is, it's all sciences, and I had all liberal arts. But I ended up going to college in Grand Rapids, a college called Kelvin College. And I graduated with an engineering physics major and math major, and then two minors in language. But anyway, my whole life went in a different direction than I thought. And so when I got into the corporate world, I spent 25 years with Johnson Controls. I ended up being the manager of North America in installation and engineering operations. And I had huge responsibilities, but it's amazing. I never expected to be an engineer, never expected to be involved as a national manager of anything, but that's where God led me. And that thing led to a whole bunch of other series of events, being involved in international work and so on. I ended up finishing my job at Ellen Bradley, which became Rockwell, that's after the Johnson Controls experience, where I became an international vice president for technical support worldwide. And there again, I thought, oh God, why are you putting me in these positions? But it was sort of like Moses working in the desert, you know, working in Egypt and then being in the desert for 40 years. That was sort of my experience in the corporate world. When I got through all of that, ended up in being in charge of the new construction at Elbrook Church. I was building chairman for that whole project. From there, went into some ministry internationally with an organization called Mercy Internet. Why does the name slip me? With Mercy International, with Operation Mobilization,
right.
And they have an operation for the relief work in Afghanistan, Tajikistan, and so on, in the Persian world. And from there, I thought, well, this is where God wants me to be, you know, in that part of the world. I ended up on the board as director of the board, chairman of the board, and I thought, well, I can't do ministry in that organization and be chairman of the board. That's sort of a conflict of interest. But then in 1995, I really felt that God was calling me to Milwaukee, of all places, after having been all over the world with extensive travel and so on. And so we started the ministry called Basics in Milwaukee. And BASICS is an acronym for Brothers and Sisters in Christ Serving in Milwaukee, with the idea of bringing the Christian community together. And that has been my fulfillment, I think, of God's call in my life. And that calling has been not fully fulfilled yet, I don't think. And the reason I say that is now that we've moved in the succession plan of having Mark Malwitz become the president of BASICS, I'm now the CEO, and I'm going to be moving more to a strategic planning role and trying to pave the way for the future. I got a call yesterday from Mission America, which is the organization that's picking up from the Lausanne Conference in Cape Town, which is an international movement of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to all countries in the world. And they've asked me to be on their planning team for that conference in Orlando. And I'm seeing the Lord open a whole new set of doors that I have no idea where God's taking me. But the important thing is, so much of what Stu said today in his message is that God has a plan. And we're called to be soldiers. And We have to be faithful. We have to be prepared. We have to be strong. All those things that he talked about is so much of what it is to be in God's army. And we're in a battle, and there's no question about it. And it's so important to really understand what God says to us. And sometimes we're ready to hear that, sometimes we're not. You know, and I think of how God prepares us through things in life that are totally unexpected. And sometimes very difficult, sometimes very good. But there is so much that happens in lives of people that are searching. They may be afraid. They may be angry. They may have so many frustrations in their living situation that it's horrible. And we just can't understand where God is in all of that. And there are so many people working in the inner city of Milwaukee. I have to share a little story with you because it relates to finding out what a person is really like inside. And I worked with the gangs on the south side of Milwaukee. This was back in 97, 98, when at Orchard and 26th Street, there was a gang house. And there was a gang war going on between the Kings and the Disciples. And I knew about the gang activity because that was part of our ministry, to try to connect with the kids on the street and help them in whatever way we could. Well, the Disciple gang had a member that was shot and killed by one of the Kings on the south side near one of the Catholic churches. And I knew that there was going to be a retribution killing by the Disciples. And the funeral was on a Tuesday afternoon, and so Wednesday, I felt that was the time things were going to happen. And so I called a friend of mine who was a street pastor with the gangs. His name is Marty. And I said, Marty, is there any way that we could meet with that gang before they do something drastic? And he said, yeah, I think I can arrange that. He said, why don't you meet me? We met at a restaurant. We prayed about it. He called the leader of the gang, which was a co-leader. The two guys were leading it. Fat Boy and Tommy Gunn. And that's their street names. And Tommy Gunn was the leader of the gang because he was the one with the weapon and so on. And Tommy Gunn said, yeah, you can come meet us at the gang house. So we went on Orchard and 26th Street. And the two leaders were sitting on the front porch. And Marty and I went up to him and said, we'd like to meet with the whole gang. Is it possible that the whole gang could meet here? And they snapped their fingers and did their signs, and all of a sudden there were 20 people there in the back. And we said, let's go to the backyard. And the gang guys had their girlfriends there with them. But we sat in a circle on the ground in the backyard of the gang house. And we said, Marty and I had agreed beforehand to talk about forgiveness. And so we had a little message and discussion there with the gangs. They were very attentive. I was so impressed. Usually, you know, the guys are looking at everything else and so on. But we talked with them, and then after we talked about forgiveness, we talked about killing and how important it was to follow Jesus and not do that kind of a thing. And they were very responsive. And at the end of that meeting, this was on a Wednesday night, we said, would you like to continue these meetings and go to maybe a church? And initially they said, yeah, we'd like to meet, but we won't go out of our neighborhood because we're very, very afraid. And so we said, okay, we'll come to you. And so that summer we had Wednesday night Bible studies. It wasn't a big fancy thing, but we talked about specific things that we felt they were interested in. And it was at the end of that meeting that we all stood in a circle, holding hands and praying. Well, that was a time that after we got done praying, a very simple prayer about how we wanted to follow Jesus Christ and obey his commands, And I gave each one of the guys a hug. And I said, love you, man, and God loves you too. After we went around the whole group, some of those guys were in tears because they never felt loved. And I thought, you know, what a simple thing. And out of that, they gave me a street name. I didn't have a street name. They called me Mr. Arms. And isn't that interesting? Because in the weeks that followed, the Kings found out, oh, Mr. Arms is the one that's there. Because they never saw a group stand in a circle holding hands in the game. That's just not something they do. And they thought I was the guy from Chicago bringing in the weapons, Mr. Arms.
Wow. Oh.
And so I was a friend of them as well as the disciples. But what was interesting is that when I asked Tommy Gunn, I said, Tommy Gunn, why are you so interested in hearing about Jesus Christ? He said, I've got to tell you a story. He said, when I was a little kid, we lived in this house where we were, and my mother was praying on a Saturday morning that somehow we'd have enough food for breakfast. And he said, we didn't have much at all. We were very, very poor. And he said, at around noon, he said, I remember very clearly there was a knock on the door, and we were afraid of who that might be because it turned out there were two guys standing there. And in that environment, you never know what that means. But they had in their arms bags of groceries. His mother opened the door, and these guys said, we are bringing you this food because Jesus told us to bring. And he said, ever since that, I've wondered, who is Jesus? Isn't that interesting? A simple thing that was done and said, Jesus told us to bring this to you. And he was so interested and eager to learn more about Jesus Christ. So we introduced him to who Jesus was and so on. And he made a decision that this is where I have to be. I have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, one of the sessions that was the next, I think the next maybe week or two, we were talking about fear. Because that was what Tommy Gunn talked about. He said, I'm afraid all the time. And that fear is just driving me crazy. Because I don't want to be afraid anymore. And he said, and I'm praying to God that he will take me to a place that's safe and I don't have to be afraid. And so we all prayed that prayer. And it was interesting. That particular night, there were four times that the runner, I think they call them runners in gangs, that were watching the neighborhood, and they were 4 years old. This one kid was 4 years old, and he gave the signal that there was something happening that they should hide. So all of a sudden, Marty and I were standing there, and the gang disappeared. And we stood there, and we waited. They gradually came back, and that happened four times. So it was a perfect example of being afraid and running and hiding. We said, we want to show you a way that you don't have to be afraid, and you can plan on Jesus helping you and keeping you safe, even in the worst environments. And so he made that decision. The following week, this was at the end of the summer, he ended up getting caught by the police and put in prison because he was with a guy that had drugs in the car. And he got in prison. When we talked to him in prison, he said, Mr. Arms, I'm so thankful that God heard my prayer and he put me in prison where I'm safe. He said, I don't have to worry here. And I thought, isn't that interesting how God responds to our prayers and how he leads us through little things along the way. And Tommy Gunn is getting out pretty quick. And that's going to be a great reunion for us because he has been serving God in prison in really difficult circumstances. But I couldn't help but think about that in talking about how does somebody come to know Jesus Christ? You really have to look at your life and identify where has God touched you in some way, maybe a very small way. But it's a sign of the wonders that God provides in touching your life and your spirit, your heart. You know, the government can do all kinds of things to help people survive in dealing with the mind and the body. They can put you in prison and all that stuff. But only God can touch your heart and your soul. And that's the message this morning was all about. You need a soulmate. And I think that the thing that I was praying for this session is that I'd be able to just convey a little picture of what God does in somebody's life. And the thing that's so powerful is that making that decision to follow Christ is only the very beginning of a life that can be powerful when God is a part of that. And he works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And I thought it would be just really good to think a little bit about how that happens. You know, I think each one of you have been through some experience where God has worked. And you could see that wonder in your life, and then how you use that to get into God's Word, where he talks to us. You know, that's the Bible, is the way he talks to us. And if we don't read it, God's not going to talk to us. If we don't pray, he doesn't hear what is on our heart. And so I think the prayer and the Bible study and being in tune with the creator of the universe is so powerful. And the other part of that, I think, is so exciting, is God has a purpose for everyone that he's created. He's the creator of the universe. And the more you learn about the wonders of our world and the universe, the space, the stars, it's unbelievably beautiful. And now with the satellites that we have going up and the pictures that we're getting of the universe, it's way beyond our wildest imagination, the size of what we're in. It's only through the Creator that we can even know these things. And so there's just a tremendous opportunity for anyone, no matter what they've gone through in their life, they were created for a purpose. And that is such an encouragement. It gives us all hope. But there's so many people that don't want to hear it. You know, they've got their big things going, and they're into some of the evil things that are going on. And when I see how the families are just falling apart in Milwaukee, it's sad that the so many men, particularly, and girls, don't have fathers that they know. You know, they have just totally lost track of them, or the fathers are not in the home. And some of the things going on in Milwaukee are so dismal when you consider the future for men, particularly, and the lack of jobs, the lack of a family that cares. The children want their dads, but they don't know where they are, and so the whole relationship thing just falls apart. But the Heavenly Father, God, is always there, and you can always pray to him. And God guides us through all of these experiences to become closer to him if we want to. And no matter what we might have done, and like with Tommy Gunn, you know, he was the killer of the game. But when we had that session on forgiveness, he listened, and he was so encouraged that, man, I was so bad, there's no way I could have a changed life. And when he found out that God can forgive all of those sins if he just accepts and follows the rules and the obedience that God commands, and he's a changed person. Now, something else that happened that I didn't tell you about, but when we were studying in that backyard of the gang house, He-Man is another street name of the King's gang leader, and he was in the house across the alley in an upstairs apartment, ready to shoot and kill Tommy Gunn. And when he aimed the gun, he told Marty, another minister after that, that this tall guy with a white beard got in the way. And he said, and the fact that they were standing in a circle, and he saw us holding hands when we were praying, He said, there's something different here. I don't know what it is. And he didn't shoot. And that next week after this happened, Marty was talking to Luis Pizarro, who was one of the other gang ministers on the street with the Kings, said that He-Man made a decision to follow Jesus Christ after that as well. So three of the guys that we didn't know got to know, talked to them about Jesus Christ, accepted, and are now following Jesus Christ. Fat Boy ended up in the Marines. He didn't have a record, so he was able to get into the Marines, and I've lost touch with him. But He-Man is still in prison, and he was sentenced for quite a few years yet. Out of all of this, we're developing a ministry now to take young men, particularly, that have been through that kind of a lifestyle and put them into a Christian environment where they can live with fellow Christians and have a partner, like what Stu talked about this morning. They can have a job, we'll get them a job and have advocates for them so that when they get into a position, they are supported in that. And then we also teach them the life skills of how to obey God in living in their world. And so that's what's happening as part of the basics movement in Milwaukee, with bringing everybody together that are followers of Jesus Christ and willing to serve, to do that in a powerful, united way, as the Bible talks about being united as Christians and as believers. And so that's, what time are we supposed to be done?
We have a little more time.
What?
We have a little more time. Five after.
Yeah, five after 11.
Oh, okay. Okay, but I would like to, I'm not following the handout, but the handout was intended to, by Mark, to help you know a little bit more about what to follow, and probably be good to just look at the reminders of what God would want us to do as followers of Jesus Christ. Read your Bible daily. And these steps and the instructions here are really great to help you in knowing how to do that. And pray to Jesus Christ daily. He's your friend, and He does hear your prayers. I can vouch for that in so many ways that He always answers my prayers. And the Acts guide here of giving adoration and recognition, to praise God, to confess whatever the things that are happening in your life that you might have done wrong, or things that you need, the thanksgiving to tell Him how much you appreciate God, and then a supplication for the needs of you and others. And that's ACTS, Acts in Prayer. That's a great guide, and that's something you can do. And then find a church where the Bible is taught. I'm assuming, do you go to church? Yeah, so that you know what church is like. That's very unusual today for young people in the city of Milwaukee to want to go to church. And that is because there's so many things that draw young people away from the church. I've had young guys tell me, I wouldn't go to church unless it's feet first. You know, and that means that's pretty serious. And they just don't realize how important it is to be encouraged and be part of a fellowship that cares and is praying for each other. And then join a Bible study if you can. You know, it's hard to find a Bible study in the city nowadays. And to seek spiritual mentor, having someone that can be your friend in the spiritual sense. And we're working on that in our ministry in the high schools. And we have teams of people that are praying in the high schools. Where do you go?
To church?
No, the high school.
Oh, no, I graduated high school.
Oh, are you a graduate? Yeah, no. Oh, great. Good. But where did you go?
Metropolitan.
Oh, did you? Okay. Okay. Well, we've picked the toughest schools in the city of Milwaukee to work in with our prayer teams, South Division, and... And then we've got one group at Bayview, and other schools around the city. Carter, I think, is a middle school, and we're in there. But we're coming in to pray and to be with the young people that want to come and follow Jesus Christ and set up those opportunities to be partners and mentors. And then the thing, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, it's really a relatively simple process, is to believe and to know that God loves you and that he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. And that's something, if you have that desire, the fact, for example, that you're here is a sign to me that God's working on your life and he brought you here. And that's really exciting, because you can just thank God for dying on the cross to save you from your sins, whatever they are. You know, he's a friend that gave his life just so that you could be in eternity with him. Wow, that gives us a whole different dimension of life. Most people have no idea that there's a life to come that can be far better than anything we have on earth. And so that's really exciting. And then that open door that you have of opening your door to Christ coming in, there's something that happens that may not happen now, may not happen, maybe it's already happened, but you can sense immediately that God has entered your life through whatever experience. It's just, it's an experience that you'll always remember. In fact, most people, when that happens, they remember the day and the date that that happened, the year, and that's their second birth, so to speak, and it's something that they value for the rest of their life. And then when you receive that Lord as your Savior, it just totally changes your life, and your perspective on life changes so much, because you want to do what's right. You want to get away from the evil. And it's sometimes hard to do that, because you can get caught into situations where you can't escape, but you want to, and you can always pray, and God will put a hedge of protection around you. And if you study scriptures, you'll find that God has provided and assigned angels to you to surround you and keep you safe. And your angels that are at work all the time, day and night. And that's powerful. And then to make you the kind of person that he wants you to be, and to show in your life how exciting that can be. And as you begin to serve others, because you have a heart of wanting to serve, it's a tremendous change and transformation. And that's the kind of thing that is so valuable in life. And it changes your whole perspective, and not just for this life, but for eternity, which is just a fantastic experience. So I just encourage you by that. I'm not sure where you're at, you know, we don't know each other, but as a Christian brother, we're all brothers, we love each other, and because God loved us first. Mm-hmm. And through that, we want to serve.
When did you get out of high school?
I graduated in 2007.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Great.
What do you do now?
I'm currently working for my church.
Oh, really?
In the ladies department.
Oh,
here?
Great.
No.
What church?
Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay.
Great. Good church.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that's a great thing for you to be here today. And all the sessions are just really great in this place. And most of the guys come from a church background. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why there aren't too many here today. But this year is the year for youth with our ministry. And some exciting things are happening that we've been a part of. One is that Franklin Graham, you know, you've heard of Billy Graham. His son, Franklin Graham, is going to be coming to Milwaukee this summer on the 20th and 21st of August. And we have the Silver Ring thing is coming for young people. There's a whole series of events that are going on this year to bring Christ to the people that don't know Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're putting a lot of work on.
And the one of the things that Franklin Graham does is, I think he actually founded Samaritans First, right?
Yes, he did.
And we have, from Elmbrook Church, we've had some missionary teams go to work with Samaritan's Purse, where actually Elmbrook is paired up with Samaritan's Purse, and they've gone down to Nashville. That's where we're going right now. I mean, this mission trip, so that's where they're going now. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that on one of the mission trips, a friend came back who led a team down in Nashville, and he presented this book, which he got from Samaritan's Purse. And the book is Psalm 91.
Hmm.
Now, have you heard of Psalm 91?
Yeah, great.
There's a book about Psalm 91. Have you heard? No, it's the, what Aaron was talking about was the protection. That's the Psalm of protection, Psalm 91. So I would encourage you to read that, for one thing. But secondly, if you want, I'll get you a book because they're free.
Yeah.
And there's an organization known as the 1687 Foundation, and they will send them to anyone free of charge. And that's why I had the 80 copies. Now, I'll tell you a little story about after that. Rena Hannon has taken and ordered 80 copies, and they're using them for their ministry, for the Room Tree ministry.
Great.
They send them to all their kids.
Wow, that's great.
You know. And yesterday I got a phone call from Devery Wickwire. She's going to be going down to Florida. Devery Wickwire is a missionary to Turkey. She and her husband have been missionaries to Turkey for 25 years. And we know them. And she heard about the book. She got the book. And now she's calling the 1687 Foundation because there's an organization down in Florida that's going to, that they have talked about this book and they're going to get to it. So anyway, if you want one, I'll get one to you.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a Bible?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a Bible.
Yeah, well, Psalm 91 I know where that church is. I've been in that church. I've been in your church. I get in churches a fair amount because I sell handicapped equipment. And I think you've got a stairway elevator in your church, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just had to know that, but anyway, I know where your church is, so I'll get some Psalm 91s over there.
Okay.
You know.
It's interesting you mentioned Psalm 91, because I was using that yesterday. A friend of mine had a heart attack and was in the hospital and had no idea what was going to happen. He was very afraid, and we read that chapter. It's a perfect chapter
for
encouraging people who are...
Protection from disease and pestilence is the word.
Encourage you to read your Bible and read this. There's a lot of good books that help you grow in your faith, and it's so important to have that attitude of wanting to be righteous, and even though it's difficult sometimes, but it's so important to have that attitude. And so we pray for you, and I hope that you find a good, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
So you part of any ministry team at the church? No, actually I just joined church last year and I left for a while and they fought me to come back and I just reinstated myself.
Oh really?
right after my grandmother died, I came back.
Oh.
Did she attend that church?
No, she didn't go to church.
Okay.
Didn't go to church at all?
No, it was too many of us for her too, so she pretty much ran the family.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually the grandmothers are the ones that have been praying the most faithfully for their grandkids. And there's somebody in your life that's been probably praying for you.
Yeah, I believe my cousin, who actually should have been here today, but he asked me to take his spot because we have a death in the family. So
Oh, really? So you can tell him now that you're here. And that's great. Does he go to your church too?
Yeah, he's actually a minister. He just became a minister.
Oh,
wow.
Great, good. Well, that's good. See, and he can be your mentor, your friend.
Yeah, he has. Me meeting with him, I came a long way. He got me my first job, first car, first house.
Wow.
And then last week, I took a trip to Hawaii, which is a place I always wanted to be.
Wow.
Go see. I had no money. I had $300 in my pocket in cash. Wow. I had $300 on my charge card. And we was arguing. They said, if you had been rich, one place you would go what would it be? And I said, I want to go to Hawaii. And they were like, well, you stupid. Why would you want to go to Hawaii? I said, it's just a place I always wanted to go. So my cousin won tickets to the Pro Bowl, so I had a chance to go to the Pro Bowl there.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. That's what a great experience.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Won a ticket to the Pro Bowl. Wow.
Yeah.
So he's got you a job,
a car.
And he's getting you a relationship with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
So you're really getting your life together, and that's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy the Pro Bowl?
Huh?
You enjoy the Pro Bowl?
I enjoyed the Pro Bowl. We couldn't stay and watch the whole thing because our bus driver left at 5 o'clock, so if we missed that bus, we basically had to find our way back to the hotel. But from the first two quarters, I enjoyed.
Except there's no Packers there.
No,
there were no Packers. Yeah, that was a disappointment.
And that's a good thing. It's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't even Sunday.
Yeah,
that's good. So were you in sports in high school?
No, I pretty much stayed in trouble, so I couldn't.
Yeah,
my grades wasn't good, and I stayed in trouble, so I never had a chance to do sports.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can still get an education. Which would really be very valuable. It opens doors. Doesn't solve all your problems, but it certainly helps open doors. I think God may want you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said I was going to go back. I tried MNTC right after I graduated.
Oh, yeah.
It was really hard because I was going down there. I was broke, and I said I couldn't go to school and be broke. So I pretty much dropped out. And I started running with my cousins. And after some of them got locked up, we was basically broke again, and my cousin left became a minister. He got me, he's like, man, I know a better way.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. You
know, it's the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
So the Lord's blessing you.
Yeah, he sure
and,
is.
And he's going to be your guide in the days and years to come. And that's going to be really powerful. Yeah, with that spirit, and the things we heard this morning as a reminder from the speaker. Those are powerful words. And they really mean a lot. Sometimes it's hard to apply them to your life, but with prayer and following his commands, it works.
Yep.
It's powerful. Well, great. Let's pray.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dear Lord in heaven, I thank you so much for bringing Guy and these guys here today and to be able to talk about what you're doing in our lives and how you work and make such a powerful impact on people who are willing to make that decision to follow you and then to live by that decision, to study your word and to be in prayer with you and to build that relationship of trust and faith and all those things that make us unique in being your children. We thank you for loving us, for providing us a way to eternal life with you. Lord, that is so powerful and so exciting. We just thank and praise you for all of that and for making that available to us. And I pray for Guy as he moves ahead in his life that you will bless him abundantly and that you will give him opportunities to serve you, to learn more about you, to pursue his education, that doors will open to him for doing things that he would never imagine doing. And so I just ask your blessing on him and his family, his relationships with others, and with his mentor. We thank and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Good
amen.
Amen.
Great. Okay. Great.
Hello.
Hi.